Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, White Sox fans, can you believe this? I mean, what more do you need to know about the latest group of Southside Sox writers coming in to contribute to the site than like two of them have been on like three or four dozen podcasts already? It's awesome. Another new addition to Southside Sox is Elizabeth Gonzalez. Here's commitment. She's in Seattle. Of course. All right. I'm going to pretend it's not the case, but I think the trip was already planned before actually joining Southside Sox. However, I can pretend it's just out of the devotion and love for you, the readers and listeners, that Elizabeth is there in Seattle checking out what was Safeco, now I believe T-Mobile Stadium, for the first time. And in the second half of this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about Ballpark Seattle specifically, and then maybe just do a little survey of favorites and least favorites. I've been plenty, and Elizabeth is adding she's adding faster than I am these days. So first of all, Elizabeth, thank you for, it's been a long day for you. Thank you for joining us post game after White Sox win.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I was like, oh, we got to do it when we win. Have to. Exactly. I'll make time for that.
Let's not push it because this could be the only one. We're still cynical enough White Sox fans, but really terrific game. Amazing Lance Lynn start. I mean, the guy does seem, as any skeptics would have said, all right, maybe this, you know, players hit walls at all sorts of times and at ages younger than Lance, coming off of injury, you think, boy, maybe this just isn't the year for him, but he's looking like a guy who would be in a playoff rotation and might actually be the best pitcher on the staff before the end of the season, you know, even with what Dylan Cease has done. Mm-hmm. And then some offensive contributions as well. What'd you see in that game? A lot to cheer for.
A lot to cheer for. I mean, it was Elvis Andres' game. Him and Lance, and I mean, he was making defensive plays, offensive plays. He was interviewed post-game. I got to see that. One of our fans was actually serenading Elvis with Elvis during his interview. So that made it interesting. But yeah, great section in terms of fans showing up. So I was using my distinct voice to cheer, but got a little dicey at the end. Had to keep it interesting, true Southside style, and wasn't really sure what was going to come out of that with Liam, but we came out victorious, so we'll take it.
Yeah, it did sound like, just from what was going on, you know, social media wise, that there was a decent contingent in Seattle, which is impressive given the fact that there's a lot in Seattle to cheer for for Mariners fans and in Seattle than, White Sox and White Sox fans. Yeah. So, well done. Leading the charge, Elizabeth. Thank you. Yes, as you're mentioning, Elvis, let's just throw this out. Secret Base, it's related to SB Nation. They come up with the crazy stats and the crazy graphs. They're Dorktown. They threw out during the game, I believe, and getting some buzz. Elvis Andres, 6 home runs in about 425 plus plate appearances this year, 6 home runs outside of Seattle, and in what looks to be about 25 plate appearances, 5 home runs in Seattle. So I'm guessing you might see another Elvis home run during this series. It just seems like that's what's happening with him. He really likes hitting in Seattle.
You know, I was told he hit very well in Cleveland. Didn't quite see it. I think the more comfortable he gets with the team, watching him interact with the guys in the dugout, and, he was laughing. Him and Larry Garcia were on the end in the dugout, and they were laughing at each other and cheering on, you know, different people at bat and things like that. So I am calling it his revenge tour. This is the pregame to the revenge tour when we get to Oakland. So I think he's trying to show them what they're missing and what we got instead. So it's fun. It's fun to see for sure.
Yeah. Elvis Andres will have his revenge on Seattle. Yeah. And, you know, listen, we sort of laughed. I mean, hey, listen, It is funny that he would say this is the most talented group he's ever been with when he went to the World Series with Texas Rangers teams. Okay, that said, hey, listen, maybe Tony wasn't given a love. Maybe somebody just needed to say, hey, you know, you guys are pretty talented. Maybe we should win some games. I mean, your clubhouse chemistry is so odd, and confidence plays such a weird role in the game. And obviously this is a team that's not played with a great amount of confidence, certainly not offense, defense, pitching all at the same time this year. And maybe it just needs some new guy coming in to have some things coalesce. Miguel Cairo isn't doing something special. He's not suddenly saying, hey, don't listen to Frank Menachino, anybody. Go for home runs now. I mean, a lot of this is just really coincidental, but it's a great coincidence. And this is the time of year when these coincidences going in the right direction. We've seen enough years with the White Sox where it starts to go south in September. Yep. So maybe this is a year where they reverse the trend and the White Sox start to inflict some pain in September and make a push, because the climb is still pretty sweet, still pretty steep. So, they need everything they can get. But you were seeing, obviously a lot of people watching, of course, at home as well can get those glimpses too. But there did just seem to be, beyond just what some of the White Sox fans in the park were bringing to the game, but, even in the dugout or on the field, noticing some confidence, some looseness that maybe we haven't seen for the first 5 months of the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a noticeable change. So this is my fourth game in 4 days. So I was at every game for the Twin Series. And especially with our starting staff, they now all go out to the pen with whoever's starting and watch that person warm up. And then the starter leads them out of the pen, and then they follow as a group. And then they all high five our bullpen going out to the bullpen. And that has been different. We've had leaders, like Lance Lynn is a leader, and I've heard that said multiple times, but now it seems like they're bringing that unity. So I notice a difference there. And I feel like, especially when one of our starting pitchers has a really good start, our team just kind of follows and falls in line in terms of offensive production. So Cueto's tomorrow. I'm excited to see what happens with him. Historically, we haven't given him a ton of run support. But I know that he puts us in a position to win every time he takes the mound. So I'm excited to see that. I think I know it's as simple as, I think Miguel said that they just said, oh, have fun. And I know people were making fun of that, but it genuinely seems like they're having fun. Before the games, they were playing hacky sack. Like, I'm sure that the TV got that footage, but it just seems like a light and airiness about them, and maybe not as much pressure. So they feel like they can have fun, and that's leading to performance. But it definitely feels different.
Yeah, let's not overlook, because we don't know the messages being delivered. Of course, in April, you're not necessarily reporting or putting on T-shirts, the slogan for the season, per se, or when they start encountering their first adversarial series where, they start out so hot and then the month didn't get over before they had a really bad streak to sort of put them right back down from that hot start they had. Let's not overlook what Miguel did, because as silly as it seems, as simple as it seems, go out and have fun. Maybe it did really need to be said, especially given, again, we don't really know the dynamic with Tony. Right. We have our suspicions that it might be a little cold, or I don't know, professorial. Just it would be very plausible that there's difference given the guy is significantly older than the players. He's been out of the game, even though he's with the Sox last year. So the idea that Miguel comes in and says, hey, what do we got to lose? Let's just have some fun. Let's not overlook that. And again, you mentioned Johnny Cueto, and I'm guessing he's not necessarily a vocal leader per se, but just the fact that even prior to Andrews coming to the team, he sort of questioned, it was a little bit more of a negative kick in the hiney, but to say, hey, listen, do we have the fire? Which, of course, Tony had to respond to, like, hey, what's he talking about? We're great. We're under 500. We're great. I don't think we should overlook that either. From a guy from the pitching side who hasn't been with the team all year, who I'm pretty certain isn't necessarily going to be the vocal leader among the rotation or on the staff. Maybe some of that need to be thrown out there too. Just like, hey, without calling out, without doing a Dallas Keuchel direct call out, but just saying, hey, do you guys got it? Because if you do, let's go. And he's sort of been cowboying up all season. It's great that the rest of the team sort of caught up with him now.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like he just brings an extra element. Like he's, he's got his own style. He runs the bleachers after his starts. The other day he went live on Instagram from the hot tub in the clubhouse. Like, he's just, he's swaggy. Like, we need that. And he just, I don't know. He's just so funny. He's fun to watch. Like, I love him. I think he's great for our team. I think Elvis brings another energy. He just seems so likable. He's always smiling and having fun. Yeah. And I think that a lot of the younger, especially our Latino players, also gain from his experience. So I just think it's great. I don't know what exactly is happening, but I'm here for it. And the thing that's telling to me is, okay, we lost a game against the Twins, right? After taking two from them. And then we came right back and won this game against a very, very hot Mariners team. Mm-hmm. I get it. They were sleep deprived, but they're still very talented. And that's a very positive step to me, in the right direction.
Yeah. And sometimes being just thrust right back. I mean, obviously the body is going to break down at some point, but sometimes being thrust right back out into it without even having to think about it, you know, literally probably getting off the plane and going to the ballpark and maybe trying to catch a nap in the clubhouse or something, maybe freshening up very briefly. That isn't necessarily always a negative thing. You're just back in the game, especially with a vulnerable opponent. Now the White Sox came and, you know, they packed a little punch. Lance Lynn was key there for sure. But, you know, in addition to AJ and Elvis getting the big hits, not a high scoring game, not a big offensive output either. Not to get too Bill Vec, but I mean, really, if the White Sox let this season end or let Johnny's career on the South Side end, because who knows, it might just be this one more month, who's to say, without like gifting him a horse that like trots in from like the bullpen, I mean, they're really missing an opportunity there. I know that's a little too Bill Vec stacking beer cases or whatever, but I mean, come on, that is really sort of a natural fit. And unless Johnny's got like 300 horses already on his ranch, which I'm guessing he doesn't really, I mean, that's really some shot. I mean, that's, again, White Sox, hello, free idea, you can take it. Don't even need to credit us. We'll credit Elizabeth. She's there. Really,
I
mean, speaking
I feel like it would be just the talk of the town, talk of Major League Baseball, if Johnny Cueto came out on a horse. Edwin Diaz, too. Like,
hell Johnny yes. Cueto. Hell yes. And I mean, come on. Elizabeth said she's here for it. She's here for this turnaround with the White Sox. She's literally here for it. She's in Seattle. She's going to be moving on to Oakland. We got another podcast coming a few days from now where we're going to check in from Oakland as well. Hopefully with the White Sox spinning off like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row by that time. We're going to take a quick break and get into just a little bit more of the White Sox specifically, but then probably talk some ballparks as well in this sort of post-game podcast, sort of just general. Oh, maybe, who knows? She goes to enough parks. We just might start a separate on the road with Elizabeth Gonzalez podcast. Who's to say? It could happen. Not yet, but stick with us for a minute. Come on back, and we're going to talk a little ballpark and see how Seattle weighs in on Elizabeth's growing list of ballparks. See you in a minute.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, White Sox fans, Brett Ballantini, not in Seattle, but lucky enough to host a podcast with someone who is in Seattle. And it's one of our newest Southside Sox staffers, Elizabeth Gonzalez, who brought home a victory. And actually, you got a pretty good streak going. Of course, you know, lost on Sunday, but, you know, that's at least 3 of the last 4. I'm not going to necessarily have you flip your baseball card over to tell me what the season record is. But listen, I like the recent trends. Whatever it is, I like the fact you're trying a hot streak with this team. Mm-hmm. The prospects, when I checked in post one hitter on the Dylan C's postgame podcast with Allie, we both admitted that, you know, obviously not just entirely off of the fumes of Dylan's masterpiece, but that something had turned with this team a little bit. Something had turned around the rest of the AL Central with Cleveland's pitchers all breaking down and Minnesota continuing to sort of be stopping and starting. So before we get into a little ballpark talk, give me your thoughts on weather, because we all sort of chuckled just a few days ago about like, man, it's going to be a really tall mountain to climb for this team. Do you think the mountains maybe turned into a little bit more of a hill just a few days later?
I think so. I mean, baseball to me is all about timing. Like, look at the Yankees. They were hot for so long and now they're struggling. So it depends. I feel like if you peak too early with how long the season is and injuries and things of that nature, like that could hurt you. So I think anything's possible. We definitely shorten the deficit on our lead needing to be gained for the Central. So we'll see. I know the Yankees beat the Twins today. I don't know what's going on with the Guardians, but I feel good about it.
Let's check in for a live look-in on the old Cleveland Guardians. They were winning 4-3. Oh, my goodness gracious. Kansas City's tied it up 4-4 in the bottom of the ninth. So there's a possibility the White Sox will end tonight. Of course, you'll all know by the time you're watching and listening, even though this is a post-game podcast, whether or not the White Sox are just one game out of first place. And how in the hell is that happening? Let's just check in. White Sox 68-67 and potentially one game out of first place. Nobody, Elizabeth, wants to win the AL Central. Oh, my goodness.
If I'm not mistaken, though, the Twins and the Guardians still have more games to make up. I want to say the Guardians. Yeah. So, I mean, all things considered, we're equal.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and it's true. I mean, you know, they are having to cram. Both of those teams are having to cram in more games than the White Sox. It doesn't help that Cleveland gets a day off sucked up by now what has become an increasingly necessary makeup game with the White Sox from that rain out their last series. So, oh, yeah, it's breakneck. And the White Sox actually do have, I mean, it's not going to be easy for anybody, but they have more pause. I mean, they definitely are ahead in games. So, you know. We'll track the loss column or whatever Steve Stone tells us to do. Okay, let's talk a little bit about ballparks. Your first experience, I believe, in Seattle, and what were some initial impressions of that ballpark?
Yeah, so the park itself seems grand when you're approaching it because of just the structure that it needs to support the roof. It's just kind of large and in charge, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's right next to their football stadium. So I really like it. It has kind of elements of Nationals Park to me when you're walking around like the concessions. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to see the roof on yet. I am doing a full ballpark tour tomorrow. So I will be doing a recap. So stay tuned for that. But initial impressions, the fan experience to me is always key. So I had really positive experiences with all the Mariners fans that I interacted with. They are kind of hopeless. And I think it's funny because their team is so good, but they're just so used to being bad that they're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. So that was kind of funny to me. But so far, I liked it. They do a pregame that you can enter in early through the outfield, and it's called like the pen. So all you need is a ticket. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be for the outfield. So I thought that was unique. They had like a live DJ, and you can watch batting practice. So people were catching home run balls from their team, which is a little bit unique because you have to be a season ticket holder to see ours. So that was different. But so far I liked it. Still have to kind of get into the food and stuff like that tomorrow. But so far so good. Their mascot is cute. Most of the mascots around Major League Baseball are like fuzzy blobs. I do prefer my mascot to be fuzzy and green. I do like Southpaw quite a bit. But yeah, Mariner Moose, or I can't remember what his name is.
Yeah, it's Moose something, yeah.
The kids go crazy for him. So,
good plug, Elizabeth. Yes, you will be penning, actual sort of ballpark. You know, I don't know what shape it's going to take. She'll determine, she's going to surprise me, or whether it's sort of a diary or even just really just taking you around the ballpark, but it's going to be something sort of reports in. And, you know, listen, we do have a lot of readers. I mean, we're baseball fans. So people do want to see whether it's the Sox on the road or just if you happen to be even, you know, in town on business, just catch a game. And, you know, these sort of little thumbnails from actual White Sox fans who know our park, and that's sort of the language we use when comparing to other parks, I think is enormously helpful. It's certainly a first. I think this is the first type of thing I've certainly ever published on Southside Sox. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun series. And, you know, as long as Elizabeth is willing to go to like 15 parks a year, man. This is going to be a really great series. But yes, first we are going to be kicking off with Seattle. Yeah, it is an airplane hangar size with that roof.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I went out before I covered the team going out just with my dad to catch parks where we caught, you know, a ton of them. We went to Seattle and it hadn't been open long and it was Ichiro era. So it was just insane. I'm sure a very different energy than even you saw. It certainly wasn't hopeless because it was just bonkers. It's the closest to seeing a game in Japan than you can see, you know, in the U.S. Took a long walk. I mean, we did not. I'm guessing your hotel is a little closer than us. We took a long walk pretty much all through like downtown to get there. But, you know, that's always a nice experience too, to sort of walk and get a little bit of a flavor. Certain ballparks like the one you're about to go to in Oakland is quite a challenge to stay near. I did because I have no regard for my own life. Because it really isn't. I mean, it's not set up at all. I mean, I literally was like jumping fences to get into the park or get out of the park afterward because everything had shut up. But anyway, a story for our next podcast, I suppose, Elizabeth. One thing we always like to do, you know, one tradition was always, you know, of course, at Sox Park, you got Armor Park right there. So it's very easy to play catch before the game. Seattle was more of a challenge, not really a lot of green space around, at least at the time. Yeah. I know we picked a couple different spots, but I know at one point we were basically just right next to the train. I think there's still a train that maybe runs by there or whatever. I don't know. But somewhere behind, I want to say it would be behind right field, right field stands, of course. Yeah. Just like a sidewalk, so you're just playing catcher. You try to grab it wherever you can. But I had some pretty positive impressions of it as well. And, it's an enjoyable experience. Good fan. Yeah. Friendly fans. Yeah. I don't remember any problems, although I would hope nobody would start picking fights with White Sox fans. I mean, come on. I mean, okay. Wrigley Field, I suppose, but come on. Anywhere else? Jeez, us? Come on. We're both genteel, but also, come on, you're really gonna dog White Sox fans. Come on. We will probably chat more on this as well from Oakland. So maybe we'll break this in half, but let's talk a little bit, Elizabeth, about maybe some of the other parks, because you've seen some that I even haven't, vice versa. Maybe the ones that have stood out to you as your best experiences, because you've seen quite a few already.
Yeah, so I don't know. Seattle is quickly topping the list. And I think because of like the experience of actually watching the game rather than like all of the other things. I know there's a lot, depending on what you're looking for. They definitely have like an eclectic food offering, much more different than I've seen at any other park. It's a little unique to look over and someone's having a poke bowl during a baseball game. So lots of Asian influence here in terms of the food that they offer. So I'm excited to check that out tomorrow. I'm trying to think what other parks I really liked. I don't remember much about Chase Field. When I went there, I would say, I don't know. I think maybe I do like Seattle the best so far. Fenway to me is obviously historical. But my experience wasn't great because I wanted to watch the game and there were people that were just there to be at Fenway. So they were getting up and walking and it didn't really seem like there was as much movement.
You can say, Elizabeth, the Wrigley Field experience. You could say it's true, you know.
Yeah, people are there not to watch baseball. Although I will give the Red Sox fans credit because I think they know a lot more about the game of baseball. I would say, I don't know, in terms of overall experience so far, we'll see how the next 2 days go, but I really enjoy this park. But I have a couple more on the list before the end of the year. So we'll see who ends up topping it.
Yeah, I remember for some reason I was only thinking about the experience I went, you know, with my dad, I want to say, whatever, early 2000s, I guess it was, Ichiro era. But then I forgot, you know, covering, I was always like, I never want to rent a car. I always want to make it very simple, which made for dicey experiences, say like in the Bronx or in Oakland, because it was just, you know, it was just a crazier, different experience. And you don't expect you're going to walk to the park and have to like dodge garbage. But okay, you know, you did. In Seattle, I forgot there's the hotel like right bordering the ballpark. I remember like being on the roof there I think it was like an off day, just like swimming up there. And then like you take a break to dry off and you're like looking into the park. I think from this, I mean, there were hotels close enough. You're looking into the park. Of course, you see the football stadium very, very close by as well. So the location, you know, is not like super ideal, but it's also not necessarily, it's not completely random either. You know, so the surrounding area, I'm sure it's only built up in the 10 years since I've been there as well. I remember, walking into the park and seeing sort of it was one of the first, I know Minnesota's got the really cool, like the baseball card walkway in, but I mean, there weren't a lot of, and the White Sox I know are doing stuff like that now too, but, this is one of the first times I remember seeing a lot of the big sort of more life-size, you know, posters of Ichiro and those other guys, you know, as you're walking into the park. And it did seem like they put a lot of effort into the fan, experience, with a lot of dimensions. Yeah. Be it the food or, you know, just, mm-hmm. I mean, newer park, you know, I guess that's what you should expect, but I'm sure there are newer parks you're disappointed by. In fact, listen, we got some time. Let's talk about one. Target Field doesn't seem to have ranked very high with you. And I know a big factor there is because it's populated with Minnesota Twins fans, which let's face it, I hear you, mm-hmm. but how perhaps maybe does that, I mean, those, you know, these are, you know, late 20th, 21st century ballparks. You know, what's the comparison there then? Because obviously Seattle's made a much bigger impression on you, better impression.
Yeah. I think Target Field just feels a lot more like quaint and kitschy. It's just smaller in scale. I think also by proximity of where it's placed in the city. So Target Field is right downtown, pretty close. It's on the downtown side of the Mississippi River, and it's connected to Target Center, where the Timberwolves play. So not a ton of space. They left it in the city, and then there's like a highway on the other side of it. So it is very compact. They do have, I will say, similarity wise, and you kind of mentioned this, when you're walking outside of both of the parks, there's definitely statues of both, you know, previous, like their versions of Hall of Fame players, whether they're actually Hall of Fame players or Hall of Fame players for the club. They both do have statues of baseball mitts. the one in Minnesota, you can actually sit in, though. It's more of like a 3D thing. The one that's here in Seattle is a little bit more abstract, stuff with the players on it. So even if you're not actually in the park, but you just want to walk by it, you can still get an idea of the history of both clubs, which I like.
Yeah.
But Target Field, like I said, it's smaller. One of the cool things about it to me is this kind of old timey light up sign that they have in the outfield. That's right. Kind of a caricature of the Twin Cities, right, portrayed as baseball players. And then the river runs through and it's the state of Minnesota. So I think that's cool. The big board for me, also scoreboards are big. I much prefer the one here at T-Mobile Park. It's massive, but they still have like the old school smaller one. So I like both elements of that. The one in Target Field is a little bit smaller, but this one's basically like, you know, if you got like the biggest TV that you could have, that's what they have in their outfield.
It's been a long day for you, Elizabeth, and I know I promised you no quizzes, but I'm going to go back on that, and I'm going to give you a quiz because I'm curious now, because we're talking about this, and obviously even the two of us, those Sox fans, and obviously very quick best friends, we look for different things in ballparks, and I'm curious to know then maybe what, say, a most important, or at least one of the most important things to you is about a ballpark, or maybe conversely something that you really don't care for when you experience in a ballpark.
Yeah. So I haven't really thought about that in my ranking scale. So maybe I should have thought about that ahead of time. I don't know. I'm a big person of like the vibe. So when I go in, if I like to see if like the fans are engaged in what their team is doing. And a lot of it to me is like the conversations that I'm having in the stands with people around me. And I guess comparing, since we already did this, comparing Target Field to T-Mobile Park, the level of baseball knowledge just doesn't seem as prevalent, and or the game doesn't seem as important when you're in Target Field. And I say that trying to be fair to Twins fans, sure, because right now their team was good, mm-hmm, or is good, and they were in first place at the time that I went there. Both I watched the Brewers play them, and I watched the White Sox play them in April. So it just, they seem more interested about the other elements that they use for fan engagement, like the character race that they do in the outfield. That gets a huge applause from the fans, and everyone's paying attention and screaming and yelling. So that's different. But I don't know. I think that the fans are maybe now, because there was a glimmer of hope for this team and it's not really been there for a while, that they're engaged. It's a fun team to watch. A lot of young talent on the team. Julio Rodriguez didn't have a great game, but he's so fun to watch. But yeah, so we'll see what he does the rest of the series. But I think that's different to me. I did meet a lot of very nice White Sox fans in the line, from all different places. I sat next to a gentleman that's originally from Montana, and now lives here. So he was so excited to come and see the White Sox and follow some podcasts and things of that nature from afar. So that was enjoyable. And I talked to an 83-year-old gentleman who has been a White Sox fan, because he's originally from New York, and he had to pick a new team when they moved the Dodgers. So he chose the White Sox for whatever reason. So things like that really cement the ballpark. And maybe that's not fair to the ballpark because they can't control who's coming. Sure. But things like that mean a lot to me, because baseball to me is nostalgic. We talked about that before. Like, I see my grandpa when I'm having conversations with a fan like that. Sure. So there's other things too that I like to cover because I know it matters to other people. Like, scoreboards are really big. People love to see those. People definitely want to know about the food. Some people care about, the historical elements of how they're honoring, players past for the club. So, I know the Mariners do have a Hall of Fame kind of museum, right, attached within. So I'll see that tomorrow, because I'm doing an actual official tour in the morning. So I'll have some more answers for everyone listening.
White Sox, listen, Elizabeth is doing your work. She's doing work for you. Remember the name. It's Elizabeth Gonzalez. She's doing the work. She's working the fans. She's and hello to the gentleman from Montana. Nice that you're listening to us, because surely you must be, whether on your trip home or maybe while you're just hanging out waiting for the next game. Come on, hey, shout out to you. Elizabeth making friends everywhere. I mean, that's a big part of it, of course. You want to be around people you feel comfortable watching the game with, and even if you're rooting for separate teams, you can a little respect, cap tips, that sort of thing. And, you get a good game like tonight, and, it's going to be a lot more fun than some sort of blow one way or the other, because one side's depressed. Maybe they're even getting a little bit more ribald, like, oh man, I hate this team or whatever. But definitely, I can certainly vouch for my personal experience, with Seattle, and certainly during the Ichiro era, the fans, when they're shown to be engaged with, they are definitely engaged. Even though the White Sox, the dastardly evil White Sox, the team that you root for, Elizabeth, shrank their wild card lead to just one game tonight. So listen, the White Sox guys should do some damage to this team. We're going in thinking, hey, maybe we can escape with one win. Hey, that win's already in the back pocket now. It's sort of house money at this point. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, Seattle is due for maybe a little cooler streak, and they're running into a White Sox team that's, if not white hot, they're feeling pretty good about themselves. And, slightly better rested. I mean, obviously it's going to be a much different Seattle team. I think people are saying in the sandwich game, that's where the fatigue is going to kick in. I don't know. I think they're actually going to get some sleep tonight and shake off this game. And it's going to be, it's going to be 100%, energy battle these next two games. So, we'll see. May the best team win. We got Elizabeth Gonzalez there checking it out, rooting. And if there's any factor we need to just tip it one way or the other, I've heard she's got a very distinct cheering voice that really could make a difference. Andrews is up there. He's like, all right, okay, I've been doing really well. Maybe I'll just ease up for this one last at bat. I'm getting a little tired. It's going to hear that rooting voice and say, all right, well, now I got to get another one off of the paint to get another on yet another home run at T-Mobile Park. The guy is a machine at T-Mobile Park. All right. So let's go through this quickly. Again, no more quizzes. I'll actually adhere to that promise next podcast, Elizabeth, but, certainly we'll have a podcast, from Oakland, sort of wrapping up that stadium. We'll touch on probably some other ballparks now that you have time to actually realize that you have to study for these podcasts. Elizabeth, but we'll do that. So we'll do another podcast. And hopefully, you know, a couple pieces, whether it's crammed into just one, road trip piece or a two distinct pieces on Seattle and the Oakland experience, but that'll certainly be up on site. You can follow so you don't necessarily get the entire, pros explosion experience from Elizabeth. You can catch the little, piecemeal pieces, on Twitter. My socks are white. I believe it's also same Instagram as well. So yeah. I mean, social media thing. My socks are white. Of course, our socks are white. Yeah. Come on. What else are they going to be? So you can, you know, if you want little sneak previews, or maybe, you know, some wisdom from the next Montana fan, Elizabeth Six next to tomorrow's game. But, all right, listen, you got a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. You're not the only fan, but I believe you're the only Southside Sox, adjacent, person there. So, you know, listen, this is a lot of pressure on the shoulders, but come on, you know, bring home at least another win. If not, hey, you know, let's just go for a sweep. Come on, you know, no harm.
I think Seattle left their brooms in Cleveland, so we're good.
Yeah, we picked them up. That'll work. Yeah, some momentum into Oakland, but we'll definitely be checking in a few days with you, Elizabeth, to get sort of the other side of things, because obviously that will not going to want to try to color your experience in Oakland. And Oakland, of course, gets some really tough rap, and a fair amount of it's deserved. But I'm going to guess you're just not going to have nearly the same experience in Oakland. But certainly when it comes to you and what you've identified as one of the real key elements for you, and that's the fans who are there. And I can't say that necessarily Oakland will disappoint there. So that may really help carry it, even though you're going to look around the park and say, well, wait, I thought they got rid of all the football stadium baseball parks, but you know, okay, you are going to be in one. So yeah, there's not going to be a lot of really like cool nuggets, you know, there, but certainly a lot of history and some very passionate fans that certainly would not want to see them move to San Jose, much less, Las Vegas. So, you know, we'll see how that whole drama goes too, but that's for another podcast. Elizabeth, thank you on a absolute breakneck tour. Leaving this morning and now winding up with a Southside Sox podcast. I really appreciate all the time and effort you've put in and for delivering the win. Listen, I'm putting this one on you. Save. I'm going to at least give you the hold on this one. If not the save, I'm going to give you the hold. So well done. And hey, let's try and get a couple of these next couple of games. The podcast is Southside Sox Postgame Podcast. This is number 13. I've been lucky enough to be speaking with Elizabeth Gonzalez, a new addition to Southside Sox. And hey, if you like it or not, you're going to get a lot more from her this week. So, and you're going to like it because it's going to come gift wrapped with a lot of White Sox wins. So far, she's 1-for-1. So, you know, no pushback yet. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Without you, we're not here. Thanks for reading, listening, and sometimes even watching. We'll be back with some other podcast, if not the very next one with Elizabeth, very soon, sooner than you're ready for one. So hang tight. We got a lot of Sox content as this team decides to crawl back into the 2022 division race. See you, everybody.